Empower Radio presents The Miracle of Healing with Lisa Campion. Meet healers, learn different modalities, and hear empowering stories of people on their healing journey. The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Lisa Campion.
I'm Lisa Campion, and this is The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio, where conscious people come together to explore the world of healing and heal the planet, one person at a time. So we have such a good topic tonight. People really are struggling so much with depression these days, and I think everybody is hoping for a way to feel better, and particularly to feel better without taking medication. And so we have today psychologist and author Cindy Goodman Stahlberg, who with her partner Ronald Freeman wrote a book called Feeling Better, and it's really a great book about how to work through depression based on this sort of principle idea that I think is fabulous and so good to talk about, that our baseline happiness comes from the quality of the relationships we have, more than any other indicator, more than your money or your health or all these other things we think our happiness depends on. It's actually the quality of our relationships that make us feel the best. So welcome so much, Cindy. Thank you for being here with me tonight.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me and for giving me a chance to speak with you and to your listeners.
Well, it's such an important topic, and I don't know. I've been working as a healer for 30 years, and I combine energy healing and psychotherapy. So I have practiced forever and ever. And I just feel like, in a way, people are getting more and more depressed. Could that be true, especially younger people?
Well, I think it's hard if we're very disconnected or if we feel isolated or we're not sharing. So I think the idea of either being depressed or being stressed or, feeling challenged and not really knowing how to approach certain things, it's great to get a chance to figure out and have some ideas as to what we can do to help ourselves. So that, I think, is an important thing. And you're right. I mean, I think it's the times around us, it's kind of, things are difficult out there. So it affects us, affects how we're feeling.
Absolutely. And I was really interested in this idea that you guys are sounds like you have even a center that you created that's around interpersonal psychotherapy. Can you tell us a little bit about what that is?
Yeah, absolutely. Interpersonal psychotherapy is a model of therapy that's been around really since the 60s. The problem is it's kind of the best kept secret in psychology. And it was developed by Drs. Klerman and Wiseman, who are a psychiatrist and a psychologist. And Ron Frey, my colleague, and I train. We have an Institute for Interpersonal Psychotherapy, and we provide interpersonal psychotherapy, or IPT, as the short form is. And we also train clinicians. So we teach. We really believe in the model, and we teach clinicians. We supervise them. We certify them. And we really wanted to, share IPT with your listeners and with our readers. That's why we wrote the book.
Yeah, and I love the idea that, like I said in the intro, that it seems like our baseline happiness is really dependent on the quality of our relationships, which, we hear this talked about more and more these days, and it feels true to me. Can you tell us a little bit more about how we all came to that realization, or how you did?
Well, I think we're hearing more and more about it. And I think the premise is that if you have good, meaningful, constructive relationships, you're going to feel better. Or if you're struggling with your mood and you have good, meaningful, constructive relationships, you're going to feel better more quickly. And so even, even if you address some of the short term, some of the, vegetative signs, which are like sleep difficulties, concentration, loss of interest, you're still going to have difficulties dealing with your spouse or your partner or your mother-in-law who's aggravating you all the time, or you're going through a transition. You've moved to a new place. You've gotten divorced. You've had a baby. You're dealing with a bereavement or a loss of a loved one. Those situations and those issues really trigger and contribute significantly to mood difficulties. And I think the more we focus on that, it's common sense, right? And so I think we're beginning to look at this model was set up to address those one issue at a time, instead of feeling overwhelmed by trying to handle everything. And you can do the work, you pick one area that you want to work on, you pick one goal, and then you work on that from 8 to 12 weeks. And then you know what you did to help yourself feel better. So that to me is really important, so that when the next problem comes up and the next issue crops up, you can go back and you can say, this is what I did, and now I'm going to apply it to this situation. So that to me is an extremely practical and common sense approach, don't you think?
I like it. You know, and I like it that it's you're teaching a process, mm-hmm. you know, so people can then apply the process to whatever is in front of them. I mean, it's so different. We've come a long way from, you know, the good old days of, like, you know, traditional sort of Freudian analysis where you would have to lie on the couch and talk for mm-hmm. an hour a day. For maybe 20 years later, you'd feel better. You'd feel better, you know. We don't have 20 years to wait to feel better now. And this is like this really concrete, you know, process. It sounds like once you learn the process, you can apply it to many things.
Absolutely. And I think the important part is you're right. There are a number of different models out there and they can be helpful. But with this particular model, it's very, you can sit, like you say, and talk about something forever. But unless you're going to try to make a change and do something differently, then you're not going to necessarily change how you're feeling. So I often, you know, ask clients or ask people who are telling me, you know, what they've been doing and how it's not working. And I'll say, well, how's that working for you, right? I mean, you can keep doing what you're doing, which is familiar, and you're probably good at it. But in our book and in this model, we really help people get know and learn what to do. So we're not just kind of throwing you out there to the wolves and saying, oh, figure it all out for yourself. We walk through with the reader, with the clients, step by step every week, what they can do and what some of the options are for them to address their problem. So I think that's really helpful too, is knowing that you're going to get ideas, you're going to get direction. It's structured, but it's collaborative. You get to choose, pick and choose your own adventure and your own choice of what resonates with you and what fits for you and your family and your situation, right? So no one's making you do anything, and you don't have to do homework. You don't have to, you know, do thought records. We're not blaming you because you've got irrational thoughts, right? It's that you may not have as constructive a relationship as you'd like to, and we're going to help you accomplish that.
I like it that you structured the book in terms of weeks instead of chapters. You know, like, 12 weeks instead of 12 chapters. And because I feel like it gives somebody like, well, I can try this for 12 weeks and have the idea that we're, like you said, that we're moving forward in what they're doing, and they're going to see maybe some improvement in that time. Because I think part of, for me, when I haven't had that much depression, thank God, I tend more towards anxiety. Like when I had postpartum depression, I had postpartum anxiety. I didn't actually have depression. Mm-hmm. So I'm used to sort of that, and I, you know, kind of worked my way out of it using like mindfulness techniques and stuff. But what I know to my, I have three kids, and two of my kids have pretty serious depression. And what I notice about working with depressed people is it's like that feeling of hopelessness, like it's never going to get better.
Right. And it is important. You will feel better. And there is certainly an overlap between anxiety, feeling anxious, and feeling depressed. So you don't really have to necessarily have a diagnosis. You can have some struggle and you can identify it. And then this, you can use the techniques and the ideas we've suggested. And it's also great for adolescents. It's been adapted for adolescents. And you know adolescents, they don't want to do anything for too long, right?
Yeah.
And to them, their relationships are extremely important to them. Mm-hmm. So it appeals to adolescents. It's good for older adults. It can be used for individuals or couples. It can be used for groups or families. And it can also be used for other problems and illnesses as well. So it's a very, very broad kind of model that can be used for a number of different things. Highly recommended by a psychiatry and psychology treatment guidelines.
That's great. And I loved how you talked about depression really as like a treatable illness, and sort of in the book you made like a comparison to like if you broke your leg, like it's kind of along the same thing. Can you talk more about that? Because I think people, there's so much stigma around depression.
And that's one of the main reasons that we really identify it like that, because there is stigma. Even though people are talking more about it, there's still a lot of stigma. And what we want to explain to people is that when you break your leg and you have a cast on, you know, you don't have any problem. You're telling people, sorry, I can't come to the dance with you this weekend. And nobody blames you and nobody says, oh, you're not trying hard enough. But when it comes to more of an invisible illness like a mood difficulty or anxiety, depression, anxiety, you know, people can't see it. And so I think it's important that people really get to, you know, stop blaming themselves, because there's no one I know who wants to feel this way. There's nobody really who does this to themselves, right?
Right.
And so taking away, you know, if you number one, we're trying to help people understand themselves and what they're going through. We want them to know that it is treatable. We want them to know it can be temporary. And we also want them then to share that information with other people so that they're educating others and trying to get them to comprehend that it's not their fault and that they're working hard at trying to get better. So that's the importance of really looking at mental illness the very same as you would a physical illness.
That's great. So what can you tell us a little bit about the process? Like, what is the process and how does it work?
Absolutely. The process really starts at the beginning by, as we say, educating yourself and understanding what you're dealing with. And then you look at your relationships. It's really called the interpersonal inventory, or my kids like to call it my posse. They like to, or my crew. I don't know what the current word is for friends and relationships. So you examine your relationships. You ask yourself specific questions. What do I like about that relationship? What don't I like? What do I want to be different about it? Because we're trying to convey that really relationships aren't black and white, that there's a lot of gray in them. They're not all good and all bad. We're asking you to identify which of the relationships might be causing you the most distress. And then you go on, and the next step is to look at what we call the focal areas. So as I said, it's the common issues that contribute to mood difficulties, conflict or disputes with other people, transitions that you're going through, divorce, job loss, retirement, going off to college or university, and then feelings of loneliness and isolation or unresolved bereavement. If you've lost a loved one and you still feel terrible, the same as you did, you know, when they died, and it's many years later and it's still difficult to function. Or if you never allowed yourself to experience the sadness that people experience when a loved one dies. So you pick one of those areas. You also pick a goal. You make it as concrete as possible. So for example, like if I said, I want to be the best mother I can be, right? Well, how do I know what that is? Like, that's a pretty broad range. Or I never want to yell at my kids again. Well, good luck to that, right? So, but if I say, I want to have a discussion with my partner about how much screen time the kids are going to have, and we're going to agree on something, that's a concrete goal, right? And that's something that's realistic and something you can accomplish, right? Yeah. And when you do that, not only do you feel good when you've had a constructive conversation, if you've come up with a plan, an idea, and you begin to implement it, no matter what the outcome, what I really encourage people to do is say, watch how it makes you feel just to have taken those steps. So usually it makes you feel better that you had a good constructive conversation. You came up with a plan. You didn't have, you know, call each other names. You don't say, well, you're a jerk, you know, and you really feel better that you did it in that way. Right. So that's what you do, is you work on those steps and accomplishing a goal that you want to accomplish in that period of time.
I think that's great. I love it. And I mean, I feel like we're pretty tribal as people. You know, humanity is sort of tribal, and our little tribes are so important to us, and we don't. It doesn't come with an instruction manual or how to have conversations, and sadly, relationship skills like these basic communication skills are not taught to people. So we're sort of thrashing our way through it, and not maybe not doing such a good job of having talking about conflicts and disputes. And you know, I love it that your partner, Ronald Frey, he's kind of the guy in the book, in the sidelines. He has these sort of man talk, you
Yeah,
know.
he's a real guy. He's got guy talk going on, you know. Well, you know, me and my buddies on the soccer field, we solve our problems by care, you know, helping each other move or tapping each other on the shoulder, you know. So it's great to have his perspective. He and I have worked together for 20 years. We have a really good time, and we respect each other tremendously. And we joke with each other. I think, you know, anytime you have relationships and you can add humor to that, that really makes a huge difference as well in solving problems, right?
So
But
funny. And he, you know, he was talking about like the F word, and I'm like, oh, what is the F word? You know, and how guys don't like to talk about the F word, and the F word is feelings. You know,
yes.
having people learn how to talk about their feelings, which is such an essential thing to do in our communication with
And
each
we
other.
don't all we haven't always seen it, right? In our upbringings, maybe we're from families where people don't talk about their feelings, right?
Yeah.
And you know, even my daughter-in-law will say sometimes to me, she said, we'll have certain discussions with them, I'll have them with my grandchildren, and she'll say that never happened in her family, right? So the
Right.
fact that we are trying to help people, let's say it's easy for people often to get angry, but anger doesn't get you as that far once you just kind of yell or scream or rant or rave. But what else are you feeling? Are you feeling sad? Are you feeling lonely? Are you feeling frustrated? Are you feeling inadequate? And we really want to try to help people know that if you examine that and if you try to acknowledge that those other feelings exist too, and that there's nothing to be embarrassed about. If you share that feeling with someone else, I mean, I'm sure it's much easier. You know, if I'm mad at my husband, I say, well, you're such a jerk. Or I say, you know what, I'm feeling really bad today because I did this, or it bothers me when you say that. I'm going to get a lot farther than I am by just being mad, right?
Right.
So we want to help people step by step try out a different way that they can communicate, and they can listen to the other person. They can ask the other person, how are you feeling about this? What's your opinion? How would you like to see this go? Right? So it's a real two-way street that we build in this, as you say, community, and making things work better for us.
Yeah, I think we all need that. This book that you wrote, called "Feeling Better: Beat Depression and Improve Your Relationships with Interpersonal Psychotherapy," feels like that kind of like toolkit. You know, like
It
it's a really kind of practical and useful toolkit that that people can use for this skills. And I'm wondering if you could share any little stories that you have, because I love how you write out throughout the book. You have these kind of four characters that reoccur and their stories that make it really, I don't know, easy to relate, like applicable and easy to relate to. So what are some stories of how this has worked for
And
people?
to find it, I mean, like I said, I think one of the great things is to use that we call it reality goggles, right? So if you're struggling with a transition and you feel like, you know, before, well, you know, my job, I just lost a job and I really feel so bad because I loved my job and it was terrible. Well, you in your reality goggles, you kind of look at your job and you look at what was good about it. What do you miss? But what don't you miss, right? So there may be certain things. I mean, I don't know anybody who has a job that they love 100% of every part of it, you know? So let's say there's got to be something that you didn't necessarily like. Look at that. You look at your current situation. Maybe I'm looking for a new job or I've decided to retire. What do you like about that situation? What don't you like about it? So we're really trying to create looking at a situation with more balance, right? Less idealization of what the old role was, and more kind of a balanced approach of the new role so that you can then accept what you're at and continue to move forward. So that's kind of one strategy or tool. As I was saying too, you know, when it comes to humor, I mean, you know, unfortunately I tell a lot of grandchildren stories, right? So my 9-year-old, his grandchild son is harassing his older sister and he's making funny voices and using an accent and they're arguing with each other. And my daughter says to them, "Do you know what you're doing right now?" And they say, "No, we're fighting," right? She says, "No, you're in a power struggle." And she says, "Well, what's a power struggle?" My granddaughter and my grandson says, "I have the power and you have the struggle." So then they start laughing, right? The next time you're in a power struggle with someone, you know, you can pull out that line and you can kind of, people will laugh with each other, right? And they stop fighting and they carried on, you know?
So cute. That's adorable.
You know, there's also like, you know, we have things like we have a matrix, which is about expectations. And expectations are so important in trying to, you know, figure out relationships. So I think there's a lot of valuable tools that if people want to take a look at them, I think they'll really find they can apply them and they're going to feel better than they feel right now.
That's great. And can you give a quick example of somebody that you've worked with that where you've seen a change?
Oh, huge change. I mean, there was one client I worked with who was still really angry at an ex-husband, but she'd been divorced for 15 years and she was still angry and mad and her children were upset that she was always angry and her family. And eventually, I think part of the problem was when we got to a point where we were at, kind of figured out what would be bad if you gave up being angry? And she said, "Well, then I would forgive him." And when we realized, because sometimes you have to ask, what are the benefits of doing what you're doing, even though it doesn't feel good? So right. when she identified that being angry, she felt was tied to forgiveness, we separated that out. We said, you can still not forgive him. I mean, he did things that were really awful. You were left in really difficult circumstances, but you don't have to be angry anymore. And once she acknowledged that and realized that, she made a very huge shift in how she was feeling and was able to then reengage with other people. She was able to enjoy her children more. She was able to be at events. She was at a graduation of one of her sons with the ex-husband. And the kid said, "You know what? It's the first time I've ever seen my parents in the same room at the same time, and they weren't yelling and angry at each other." And that's huge. That's huge. Right? That's really big.
Yeah. So such amazing work you're doing. And so I'm wondering how it is people can buy your book, find your work, you know, take classes at your institute. How do people get
it? Absolutely. The way to do it, this is the easiest way, is go to feelingbetterthebook.com. So go to feelingbetterthebook.com. You'll be able to find places to order the book at Amazon and Barnes & Noble and Walmart. Or the other place is to find us at interpersonalpsychotherapy.com. So look up interpersonal psychotherapy. And if you have listeners who are therapists or want to learn the model, we'd be delighted for them to reach out to us and find out more information. And really, we hope that people will take a look at the book and share their opinions, share their ideas, share their thoughts with us. We'd love to have that community develop people who are sharing interpersonal psychotherapy with one another.
Well, yes, and thank you so much for sharing your work with the world and writing this incredible book, because it just seems like, you know, I'm sure it's going to help a ton of people, and I'm glad you wrote it.
And thank you. I appreciate you giving us the time to speak with you and to your listeners.
Sure. So we've been talking to Cindy Goodman-Stahlberg in her beautiful book, Feeling Better, Beat Depression, and Improve Relationships with Interpersonal Psychotherapy. She wrote it with her business partner, Ronald Frey. So thank you so much for being with us today, Cindy.
A pleasure. Thanks, and happy holidays to you.
Thank you. You too.
Take care.
And thank all of you guys for being here. This is Lisa Campion, and if you want to know more about me, you can find me on my website, lisacampion.com. If you feel so inclined, I would love to work with you, myself. You can get on my website, book a session for a reading. So thank you for being here on Empower Radio with me today.